So happy to have you along here on the Ideas Network. Turning our attention now to social media. Maybe we'll talk a little bit about Google Plus, find out what that is and how it's going and what an impact it might have on other businesses. As we visit with Don Stanley, he's a faculty associate in life sciences communication and owns 3 Rhino Media, a social web and strategy business. So great to have Don back. And certainly if you have questions about social, do you use social media? Why or why not? Are you wondering if there's a platform that suits what you want to do better than others? Don's the guy to ask. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post a comment on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. We'd love to hear from you. And Don, welcome back.
Thank you very much. Glad to be back.
You know, I'm going to start with a definition, or asking for a definition again. I think we did this maybe the last time you were on, but for those who didn't catch it, how do you define social media?
I'd basically define it as tools that allow us to connect with community. So whether that is family and friends or business associates or news that we want to track, it's just tools that allow us to take our conversations and our relationships online rather than just face-to-face or email, etc.
And we use it in so many different ways. Talk about some of the ways that individuals use it.
Oh, it's a huge place that people do a lot of their socializing, a lot of their business work. Last time I think I talked about a statistic that 1 in 6 marriages happen because of people meeting online. That's more than people who met in bars and at other social gatherings combined. You look at the number of, just a quick example, last night I was corresponding with somebody via Twitter. His name's Brian Elliott. He's a media personality out in California, Los Angeles area. And he was going to be interviewing Bethany Hamilton, who is the young woman who got bit by a shark while she was surfing, a world-class surfer, and lost her arm. And so my daughter has a slight disability. So I emailed him and said, or excuse me, I tweeted to him and asked him, you know, would you ask her a question for us about this? And sure enough. So, you know, it's allowing conversations like that. He ended up asking her a question as part of, I think it's going to be on ESPN, the interview. So pretty interesting to see how it's shifting both personally and professionally a lot of what we do.
And when you said tweeting, I bet you there'll be a few people that say, "What the heck is it? What's that?"
Tweeting is essentially what's called microblogging, and it's from a tool called Twitter. And I'm sure we've all heard of Twitter. And one of the interesting things is to see over the course of time how all of the different social media tools that have evolved and what they're used for. I mean, a great example is what you guys were just talking about. I love tracking friends who are on vacation and seeing, when they're using social media, pictures that they're putting up. I haven't heard anybody talk about whitefish liver yet, so so maybe one of my friends will. But, you know, being able to vicariously experience what they're experiencing. And also, one of the cool things is when I've been in different places traveling around, friends who are following me for my personal accounts will say, hey, you know, can you, we'd recommend you check out this vineyard or this place. Mm-hmm. It's pretty interesting.
Well, personally, and we've talked mostly about personals, what about businesses and nonprofits?
Oh, that's really big. I'm actually teaching a course this upcoming semester where we're going to use a lot of social media for social marketing. And because so many people are spending large chunks of time in the social web on places like Facebook, the emerging Google Plus, Twitter, as an example, businesses have a great opportunity to connect with their customers or potential customers. And businesses that don't do that, there was a study that came out last month where there's 37% more faith in a company if they're on those tools and respond to customers than if they don't.
Wow.
And people like doing business with people that they know and they like and they trust. And if you're not in those spheres, you can potentially lose customers and clients.
And, of course, it's definitely a permanent part now, the way it looks, of our political campaigns.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. The other one was a couple of weeks ago. President Obama did the tweet up where he had a Q&A, a town hall meeting using Twitter, the microblogging service Twitter, which You know, a couple of years ago, not many people knew what Twitter was. And here it is, a president's using it as a way to debate what to do about this debt crisis, as well as political campaigns. I mean, political campaigns, what Obama did in 2008 using social media really changed the landscape of the way we look to social media for finding out and connecting with politicians or political issues and businesses.
Don Stanley, our guest, as we talk with him about social media. Do you use it? Why or why not? Love to hear from you at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@WPR.org or go to our Facebook page at The Larry Miller Show, and we'll be glad to hook you in here. Are there some safety concerns with sharing materials? What should we keep in mind in terms of privacy settings for photos or other kinds of
items? That's a fantastic question. That is a study that came out a couple of months ago shows that people are much more complacent than they were in 2006 when Facebook really started to emerge, and that people are starting to accept some of the privacy stuff as almost cost of doing business. Well, if I'm going to use it and everybody's using it, I mean, the reality is a lot of organizations have information about us, and that's can be unnerving when it comes especially to the social media world. What some people put up, my rule of thumb is if you don't want your mom to know it, don't put it up. And if you have to be very careful about that. Facebook has a pretty rough reputation when it comes to some of the privacy issues, as far as the how people view Facebook compared to other social media sites. It has the lowest customer satisfaction rate, and one of the big issues is privacy. There was a face recognition technology that Facebook developed where a lot of people got very, very nervous that you could get tagged or identified in photos that you weren't actively identifying yourself in. And, you know, initially some people, and I'm sure Facebook thought, hey, this would be great, you know, a way to make it easier for people to profile others. But then a lot of negative feedback from that about, you know, potential privacy concerns. And Facebook's response to that was to allow you to go turn that off in your settings rather than making it an opt-in, meaning you had the choice to allow that to happen. Instead of having the choice, they automatically turned it on and then you had to turn it off, which a lot of people don't like. And that's where Google Plus is interesting right now.
And we'll get to that in Google Plus in just a minute. But Chris in Madison has a question for you. Hi, Chris.
Hi.
Hi.
I was wondering, yes, just yesterday, I'm pretty sure I heard on the same show, somebody who is pretty famous for blogging, and they've become, like, you know, pretty famous. Well, I don't understand the concept of blogging, and I don't understand how everyone I'm confused about blogging.
Oh, that's a great question.
So if you could tell me how it becomes something that you want to do. And I've heard that people even make a living at it.
Oh, absolutely. A lot of people. Actually, I was teaching my social media class, my summer session this morning, and I profiled 5 people who make 6 to 7 figures blogging. That's before the decimal point, which is just mind-blowing when you think about it. Most people don't do that. But all of these people are people that mainstream folks don't know. And basically, blogging is a technology that allows you to share your thoughts and ideas on anything. Some people will use it for personal, to talk about family and stuff like that, where most of that has transitioned to Facebook. But what you see with blogging is a lot of people start to write about topics that are really important to them. So one of the people that I was profiling was writing about his interest in social marketing and how nonprofits in particular could start leveraging social marketing to promote their messages. And a lot of he ended up via search tools like Google and by connecting with other bloggers and other people in social media started getting a big readership, and now he is able to do that full time. So the idea of the blogging is being able, it's almost like journaling in a sense, but most people don't use it for journaling anymore. They use it to write about something specific, a specific topic, whether it's going out and tasting the foods of Wisconsin. I know people who do that with beers of Wisconsin, like when we think of the Department of Tourism type stuff.
But how do you actually start it? I mean, is it you just go in there and start a diary and everybody can access it? Or, I mean, I guess I don't understand.
Sure.
Format you use? What?
That's a great question. There's a website called ProBlogger.net,
Okay.
ProBlogger.net. Darren Rouse, he's a fantastic resource. I'd highly recommend you check that out. Towards the bottom of his page, there are blog posts for beginners who want to get started with blogging. And he is somebody who coaches a lot of six-figure bloggers. But basically, you use a free platform like what I recommend, like WordPress.com or WordPress.org are one of the tools where you can set up a free blog. It's very simple to do. It basically username, password, email address, and then it walks you through the steps of starting. There's another one called Tumblr, TUMBLR.com, and that's another nice one. And the main thing with blogging, if you're looking to do it professionally, is to really narrow your topic and post content regularly where you're having conversations about whatever it is you're interested in.
All right.
And then the question comes up, how do they make money at it? How do they?
Well, the first thing you need to do is you need to get people who read it. And that's a big, big thing is getting people who pay attention. Because one thing you're going to be able to do as you get readers, you're able to talk to folks like advertisers to show them, hey, I have X number of people coming. A friend we have, Larry and I have in common, he has about 120,000 unique views per year on his site. So he can take some of those statistics to potential advertisers or use something like Google Ads to make some money. But typically what people will use the blogging for is a way of getting themselves noticed so that they get paid to do presentations or they get paid to write books. So it's kind of a promotional, almost a PR type tool. Mm-hmm. Does that mm-hmm. make sense?
Yeah. Thank you very much, Richard.
Yeah, ProBlogger.net is great. You'll lots of great resources there.
Thank
you. As a matter of fact, we Judith Lickety-Split put that up on that site link on our Facebook page. So if you want to go to the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page, it's up, and you can just click on it and go right from there. And Chris, thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. There's always all kinds of things that we're linking up, and of course we use it here, and we can talk about a little bit about how we use Facebook as a social media. And we'll do that in just a few minutes. We're going to take a quick look at the news and weather, find out what else is in store for us here on the IdeasNet, and then we'll be back with our guest, Don Stanley. Stay with us. Talking about the ins and outs of social media today with our guest, Don Stanley, faculty associate in life sciences communication, where I teach. He teaches social media and web courses and owns, he's got his own business, 3 Rhino Media, and I believe we have that up on our Facebook page, so you can click to that link, 3 Rhino Media. It's a social web and strategy business. Great to have him back. Certainly, if you have questions, I hope you'll join in. 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post a question on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. And Christina in Glenwood's been waiting a while, so let's go to her. Christina, thank you for calling.
Hi there. Thank you.
Hello.
I have never used social media. I have a computer, but I don't have the internet because I do not have a landline. I'm wondering, what are my options to get the internet so that I can get involved?
Well, there's a couple of things that you could do. I live in a rural area as well, and there are some services. HughesNet provides a satellite service that you could use if you want to do it from home. And there are also a few other tools. Do you get good? You must get good cell phone reception from your home.
I do. However, I have a small cell phone.
Okay. Because you can go to your cell phone carriers and they can provide, you can purchase I'm forgetting the name of the exact tool, but that allows you to connect to the internet as well. If you don't mind, you could also go to your local library. You could go to some public space and use their computers if you would like, but if you want to do it from home, satellite internet service is the one that I would look into.
Okay.
Okay. All righty. Well, thank you so much.
Thanks very much for calling. Yeah, libraries are a good source. Every library in the state probably is set up for that.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm a huge library nut, and so I visit a lot of them. And yes, they're a little busier in summer because, of course, kids are at school, so it's sometimes a little bit more challenging to get on the computer. But yeah, they're great places to go.
Facebook question from David. Are you hearing anything about Facebook fatigue? Do you think people are starting to get tired of or overwhelmed by social media?
Fantastic question. Absolutely. One of the stats that came out in the end of May, I believe, it may have been early June, was that for the first time in the United States, Facebook had about 6 million users cancel their accounts. And part of it, there's a variety of reasons why that might be. One theory is that Facebook said, at least, was that, well, college students don't want their old profiles being out once they graduate because it could hamper their job search. But yes, there's definite internet addiction / social media addictions that people are looking at, where people are constantly, there's a stat that the number of 20-something females, they will check their social media statuses before they even get up in the morning to go to the bathroom. So the first thing they do is they check their social media status. They don't brush their teeth. They don't eat food. They don't do anything. There definitely needs to be a balance in some way. And that's one of the things that when there's an emerging technology, especially one like these, that's difficult for people to figure out. Some people get so into it that they live their entire lives on it. Others, you know, you try to keep balance. And yeah, social media fatigue, and in particular Facebook fatigue, is one that, we experienced, I think a lot of people did, with a lot of the political issues that were happening here earlier in the year. And we'll see what happens with the upcoming political elections, if that happens again. I know a lot of people unfriended a lot of folks, and a lot of relationships were severed because of some of the stuff that was going on with social media and Facebook comments in particular.
Carol from Wisconsin Rapids says, this is a great show, and I have an issue that's been bugging me for a while. Most of my family members are on Facebook, share lots of photos and information there. However, I have no desire to join or put my personal information on Facebook. Is there a way I can just look at their information without technically joining? And she says, this also applies to Larry's Facebook page, by the way. But you don't really have to join Facebook to at least view my page.
Correct. Yes. And it depends on the settings of the person. So, for example, my settings, she would not be able to see my content. Some people, like with your Facebook page, the owner of the Facebook account can set how they want their information shared, if they want it to be viewable to everybody or not. So depending on how people in her family have it set up, if they have some privacy settings set up, then she would have to have an account. You don't have to post anything at all.
Right.
I mean, with my one of my personal Facebook accounts, I basically just see what's going on. I rarely, people are not shocked when I post something on the personal account, because it's more just for keeping up with some family news. So that's okay to do too, is you don't have to throw a ton of personal stuff up in order to be on it.
And Judith reminded me too that anyone, as far as my page goes, the Larry Mueller Show, anyone can see what we post on the page. I'm not sure about all of the comments by others, some of the comments certainly, but you can't comment yourself.
Correct, if you don't have an account.
If you don't have an account.
Correct.
So that's the answer to that.
And one of the things that she might want to look at is Google Plus. One of the interesting components of Google Plus is a new tool that just came out a couple of weeks ago. I've been spending a lot of time on it and reading a lot of what other people are doing on it. One of the biggest pieces of what I like about Google Plus is Facebook, if you friend somebody, everybody is a friend, and there's no real classification.
Yeah.
So if you post something, everybody can see it. And we'll see how Facebook responds to what Google Plus is doing. But Google Plus is a tool that allows you to categorize everybody who you interact with. So you have what are called circles. So I have an acquaintance circle, a friend circle, a family circle, a business associate circle, and a following circle. And so I can place people into those circles. And then if I post something, I can say I only want to share it with family, so nobody else can see it. And I can also say, if I don't want somebody to pass on something I've shared, I can limit that as well. Whereas on Facebook right now, you can't do that, which...
Right.
No.
Yeah, which is an issue. Is you think Facebook people are worried about it?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, Facebook actually just came out. They're worried about it. They're saying they're not. You know, and we'll see. I think competition is good. So there'll be, you know, we'll see Facebook hopefully be more customer service oriented. But one of the things that Facebook has been putting out some information, like, for example, they put out this Facebook for Business guide, which was supposedly supposed to be all this new content for businesses to understand how to use Facebook. But it really isn't anything new and different. And it basically, most people in industry are saying it's just essentially a response to try to take some of the momentum away from Google and Google Plus.
Yeah, I'd be a little worried if I was.
I would. I love it. I am thrilled with it so far with Google Plus. So, and a lot of huge names. Chris Brogan is one of the biggest thought leaders in social media. And actually, the woman who asked about Chris who asked about blogging, chrisbrogan.com is a great site as well to get started with blogging. But he is a huge industry expert, and he is absolutely loves Google Plus and is getting a lot of people who are interested in following him to move over to Google Plus. So
there you go. Jerry and Eau Claire, we're on to you now. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hello, your timing for this program is perfect. Last night I got an email from Facebook telling me that someone was trying to log on from a different location. Was this a legitimate email from Facebook?
I would not think so.
No.
Yeah, it sounds like some type of phishing to me.
They told me to change my password, and I did go in and do that.
Okay. And one of the things you can do, I can't visualize it perfectly, not being in front of a computer, but you can make sure in your privacy setting that you have your settings set to using a secure server. So when you see your Facebook address, like you normally go to Facebook, it says http://www.facebook.com. Make sure that it's set to https://, and that would put you on a secure a more secure server. If you just search the Google privacy, or excuse me, the Facebook privacy settings, it's right in there.
I'd be tempted maybe to go back in and change that password again.
I think I'm gonna.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. Sonia in Princeton, we're on to you now. Hi, Sonia.
Hey.
Hi.
I'm a part of a nonprofit that we've just barely scratched the surface at using Facebook. And our concern is we want it accessible for people to post pictures and comments and things. But on the other hand, sometimes we know you can't please everybody.
Correct.
So we want to try to keep people from using it as a platform for bashing or complaining about. Is there any way to do that on Facebook?
Well, basically what you can do, you can moderate the comments and it can be a touchy topic, because one of the things that people like about using social tools is that they have a voice. But,
right.
You know, that doesn't mean that there aren't people who are going to take advantage of that and do things that are inappropriate. And you can put up a Facebook commenting policy on your website as well as your Facebook page and just say, you know, here's the realm of the comments. And if something falls out of the line of these comments, you know, people using inappropriate language or, you know, personal jabs at people that we support, et cetera, that those comments will be moderated and removed. And that's what a lot of businesses will do as well with something like that. There's a book called The Dragonfly Effect. Dragonfly Effect by a professor of business at Stanford. Her name is Jennifer Acker. And I think she touches on that in that book. And that book is about social media for social change. So it highlights a lot of nonprofit and social justice movements. It's a fantastic book. And so I would recommend checking that out if you can. And again, I think she might touch on it in there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you.
You bet.
Thanks a lot for calling. Lou in Madison, on to you now. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hi, I just wanted to offer a few things that Facebook now has groups, and you can make a posting that just goes to people in those groups. So it's like the Google Plus circles.
Yes.
And so I'd be curious. Well, I've been hearing really a lot of good things about the Google Plus, so I'm kind of curious about that as well. And another thing, when somebody gets an email about somebody trying to log in from a different location, that's a new feature that Facebook has put in where they actually ask you if you they're like, where are you logging in from? And you can type something in and then you get an email. But if you get an email and you never type that in, then it would be a spam. But if you did type that in, it's not a spam.
Oh, great. Thank you. I learned. That's, I did not know that.
Thanks, Lou.
Okay, sure.
Appreciate the call. And Gail sent us an email and says, I'm just frustrated with WPR for pushing Facebook a bit. I appreciate that I can now click on Find Us on Facebook. What more could I see if I joined? I have no interest in posting to Facebook. The privacy downside outweighs the chance to comment on everything.
Yes. I would think that based on what your settings are, that she could be able to see everything, right? And just
yeah, she can. Yeah. She can see everything. But what more could she gain? She could gain the opportunity to post.
Correct.
And
comment exactly.
And comment on her own situation or whatever. And I rarely post myself on my. I have a personal page. Mm-hmm. And I have a radio station page, and on the personal page, I almost never post. Mostly I'm using it for keeping track of friends and stuff, but I did post. We were talking in the last program about Cave of the Mounds, and I took a picture with my photo with my iPhone in the cave and just said, oh, we're here with daughter Emily, and we're in the cave, and it's 99 degrees outside, and it's 50 here or 55. I thought it was 55, but I guess it's 50 in there. And I have a lot of responses to that.
Oh, I was one of them. I wished I was there. But yes, I mean, that's when we mentioned tourism, that was one of the first things that popped into my mind, how neat it was to see you were there. And it reminded me of that place. I didn't think of it initially, and then thought, well, maybe I'll go visit there in the near future. But it was one of those, I thought you might get a lot of responses to that because the weather was so hot and it just sounded like such a great place to be.
And back to my Facebook page for the radio show. One of the reasons we do it is that it gives people a chance to carry the conversation beyond what the program is. And we've had more and more of that has been occurring on that site. People sharing information, asking questions, other people answering them. So it's a good opportunity for that.
Absolutely.
And one of the big reasons why we have enjoyed using it.
Well, I think that just the call that Lou, when she called in and gave us some really great tips, I mean, that's an example of how Facebook or social media can be helpful. If she wasn't able to listen to the show, she could go onto Facebook and make a comment, say, if she wasn't able to hear it live, she could say, you know, here's another tip and add that to the community, so something that we couldn't discuss. And, you know, That's a great way that the commenting on something like Facebook can be useful to a community, just like you said, for people to carry the conversation on.
Mm-hmm. And Sarah, here's another point. Sarah from Zion, Illinois, just wanted to emphasize that you can sign up for a Facebook account to be able to comment and so forth, but you don't have to share any information or post your own statuses and so forth.
Which is a nice, yes, it's a nice option to be able to do that. I haven't done that, and I don't know anybody who has, but yeah, that's fantastic if you can do that, where you can, see the extra content, like the previous emailer or the previous question was about being able to see what family and friends are doing.
What about, one place we haven't talked about, YouTube.
Yes.
And that is a time sink if you ever get into it. I don't know what, because it's there's a week-long Shark Week program the other day, Saturday, or I think it was, I thought, oh, I'll just go look at sharks. I look, it's pretty soon. I'm looking at
later.
All these things about sharks and all these videos and stuff.
Absolutely.
You can really get lost in there.
Oh, yes, yeah.
And talk a little bit about YouTube.
YouTube is a video sharing site where anybody can set up a free account and post their own videos. And it can be a phenomenal resource. It can be a time sink as well. But YouTube, I always say if I ever can't figure something out, I go to YouTube, I type in how do you do blank? How do you, fix a derailleur on a bike? How do you, this? And you find a phenomenal, so you have to sometimes hunt and peck and, there's some not so interesting stuff, but it's amazing the amount of quality stuff that's up there. Just an interesting stat is that every single minute, 35 hours of video are posted to Facebook. Or excuse me, to YouTube. To YouTube.
To YouTube.
So everybody worldwide posting posts an equivalent of 35 hours worth of video. So it's the third most used site. People very heavily rely on it. And there are people who actually are what are called YouTubers, which are people who create videos. They get a lot of following, and it's a range of what types of videos they're creating. And they make 6 to 7 figure incomes from YouTube because of the advertising revenue they're able to get by people coming and viewing pages. But some of them are so goofy. It's like people must have a lot of spare time to go watch all those videos because...
Someone sent me one, which was hilarious. It was a setup, and there are a whole bunch of these sort of similar types of little vignettes. But this one happened to be an elderly lady who's sitting in a small table, and in advance she had taken a picture with her Polaroid camera of her in a pose with a man, and she slides it back into the camera. So she's sitting there talking to a blank chair, and there's somebody sitting off to the right just sort of looking over, and then she gets up, and this is all being, you know, videoed. She gets up and goes and asks the person to take her picture with the person. And then she goes and puts her arm around the person, and then the person snaps this picture, and out pops a picture with her, you know, in the same clothes and this man.
Oh, interesting.
And then she did it about 5 times in a row. And it was absolutely hilarious.
Oh, yeah. And there is an entertainment quality. I actually don't have television. And a lot of people will say, you've got 3 young kids. How can you survive without television? And YouTube is one of the answers. You know, there's so much on there. And entertainment wise, there's a great website called Khan Academy, khanacademy.com. Bill Gates lists it as his favorite website. It's a faculty, I forget where he's from, but he has thousands of how-to videos on math and science and all kinds of just phenomenal stuff. And he's got a huge YouTube following. So you can learn a lot of great stuff. You can get entertained. But yes, it can be a huge time sink.
Absolutely. Jonathan in Madison has a question or comment. Hi, Jonathan.
Hi there. My question is regarding the relationships formed in LinkedIn, which seems like it's kind of like Facebook for business.
Yes.
But when I look at kind of what is the expectation or the expected result out of it, it's hard for me to find value in that.
Great. Yes. And actually, the president of LinkedIn just tried to fire back at saying, oh, Google Plus isn't that good because here Twitter is for, you know, surface level quick connections. Facebook is for family and friends, and LinkedIn is for business. And Google Plus tries to combine all those. But yes, LinkedIn is essentially supposed to be where you develop and you form your professional connections. So you basically are following people not because you want to know about what they're doing socially, but what they're doing professionally. The concept is that you develop a broad enough network that if somebody's looking for a job or a connection, they can ask their community to help them find, you know, what it is that they want to, what they're looking for. You can do posts on there, but you know what you want to do with anything that you post on there is definitely professionally related. It's definitely a place I think it's worth being, but how much value you actually get out of it really depends. I mean, it's worth having a profile. It can be, you know, it's kind of like most tools. The amount that you actually utilize it can have an impact on how valuable it is to you.
As an example, I'm on LinkedIn as well, and many of the contacts I have there are alums. They're former students of mine. You probably have the same thing,
correct,
Don. Former students who are now out in the business world, and I like it because if I can maintain contact with them for internship purposes or other kinds of purposes like that.
Absolutely.
And they maintain contact with me partly because I'll do recommendations and stuff for them.
Yeah. And LinkedIn isn't like Facebook in the sense that a lot of people will check Facebook regularly. LinkedIn isn't necessarily a day-to-day activity that people will go and use. But yes, I've used it for finding former students to be guest lecturers and to give some ideas for industry. And I've also used it just to pick other colleagues' brains, both academic and non-academic, about, you know, I'm running into this issue. You know, I see that that you've been working in this industry now for a couple of years. How do you guys handle this? So more of a professional conversation. So that's how I find value in it.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for calling. And Don, thank you so much. The time flew by. The time flew by, and I'm sorry we didn't get to everybody, but people want to know how secure chat is, and there's some more people want to talk about Facebook, so I guess we'll have to do it another time.
You bet. I'd love to. And the more I learn about Google Plus, I'll bring some Google Plus news back as well.
Sounds great. Thanks, Don.
Thank you very much.
Don Stanley, faculty associate in life sciences communication and owner of Three Rhino Media, a social web and strategy business. And thank you for listening. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.